Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 4, episode 2. Last week was our first official episode of the new season, and we are back weekly because that is our schedule and we are sticking to it. And there's lots to talk about. So this week we have some big conference news. We kind of talked about the rumors, you know, the confirmed things that were happening while it officially happened, the announcements were made, and now we have more new rumors. So we're going to make sure to talk about both Belmont and Murray State. We have a little bit of recruiting news. We had someone come and visit this week to Loyola, so we're going to talk a little bit about him. And then after that, we're going to start our season previews. This week's episode, we are going to be talking about Illinois State, Southern Illinois, and Evansville. So just kind of breaking it down for you, going a little more detail about what we expect from those teams this season and anyone to look out for and how we think Loyola is going to fare against them. Lou, how's your week? How's your weekend? You feeling good? You getting excited?
Yeah, not only am I excited to talk about Rambler basketball, but in the coming short days, as we're recording this, we have a sneak peek into our own team come soon. So I'm very excited to witness that, but I'm excited to talk about some of the news, a new member to our conference, and potentially a new member to our team.
Yep, that is all coming up on this episode. So make sure to stay tuned. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets it, scores. It's over! It's over! We won! We won the ball game! Loyola won the ball game! Oh! We won! 60-58!
And we are back. So, like I said, first thing, the biggest news of the week has to be the addition of Belmont to Missouri Valley Conference. For anyone who doesn't know, Belmont is in Nashville, I believe, or very close to Nashville. They are going to be the 11th member of the conference, and they're going to start playing in the fall of 2022. So I think like the official day that they join is like July 1st or something like that. But then, you know, it's the summer, so there's no actual like competition until the fall semester of 2022. But yeah, I think it was a really cool sort of event. The new, what is it, commissioner or president of the Valley?
Yeah, new commissioner of the Valley, yep.
Yeah, Jeff Jackson, who this is his first season, I think, or first year.
Yep, because the previous one stepped down last summer, or maybe December, yep.
Right. So Jeff was there at the at Belmont in their gym or auditorium or something like that to introduce the new school and just kind of, you know, talk about everything you would think that they would talk about, like a great relationship, and they're great students. They focus on student part of student athlete, and they're very competitive, and you know, all the right things. I said all the right things. There's nothing really all that shocking, I don't think. I think maybe the only thing that was kind of interesting was I think they asked Jeff Jackson, the commissioner, later, like, oh, does this mean you're going to go to 12 teams eventually? And he said, basically said, no, like, we think 11, or we can work with 11, or something to the effect of, like, you know, not leading you to believe that there would immediately be a 12th team. So otherwise, I mean, I'm excited. I think Belmont really is a great addition in a lot of ways. I would say the general, like thoughts of Belmont being added are generally good. I think most people are excited, like most Valley fans. I have seen a couple of people like say, oh, what are they going to bring? Like, this doesn't help the Valley at all. Like, you know, this isn't going to do them any good. And I just kind of think that those comments are pretty silly and unfounded. Like, I mean, I think you can kind of see how, and we'll explain to like how they'd be valuable. But Lou, what do you think? Like, what do you think of it? I don't know if you watched any of the event or like read any of the stories afterwards, but just kind of generally, like, what do you think about Belmont being added to the Valley?
Yeah, I think personally it's a team that at least in the last, what, say since 2005 has consistently seen their name get into the tournament. So I do think it's really a team that could just bolster to the Valley. So I think it's definitely cool to see. Didn't see really much of any press conference or anything, just because I think it's been a name that was tossed out there. Even with Wichita leaving, it was a name tossed out there. Don't know if it was a name considered when Creighton and Butler, everyone left, but definitely in the recent times. So also think it's interesting, kind of Nashville's is a big city. So I think it is potentially another kind of market that the Valley can get into. Don't see them leaving Arch, of course, the Arch Madness, but just another thing to add to it. Just another city added on in Nashville. But I think they're a team that personally, I think they've made it to the tournament a few times. They consistently play postseason basketball, whether it's NIT or the NCAA tournament, at least for what, like 9 out of the 10 last years, or 10 out of 11. So I think that presence in the Valley, in the Ohio Valley, was cool. I think it's definitely going to be different in the Missouri Valley, but potentially now you could see us being a team that not only do you get the automatic qualifier going, but you get someone who won or had just a decent record in the regular season, like we saw Drake this past year. So that's where I think this opens it up, because also it's going to be a lot stronger competition, I think, with them added. So I'm happy about it. I don't think it's really a negative thing at all. I think it's just a new thing that maybe people won't see right away. I don't think personally you saw Valpo right away succeed. So it sometimes it takes time, and that's totally understandable. I wouldn't also personally want a team just to come in and dominate right away, right? So you kind of you're kind of holding your cards in your hand, debating what you want. You want the Valley to be strong. So really, I think it's a great move by the Valley. And again, I think it's a wink and a nod in that comment about 11 to potentially see another one come soon.
Yeah, and we can kind of move towards the Murray State conversation here. It was reported, I'm looking for the tweet right now. It's from Matt Jones, who,
was he one of the first to say about the, that's about what I Belmont? Just, yeah, I couldn't remember about that.
I don't think so. I could be wrong. I don't think it was him, because I think he's, you know, a Kentucky like reporter, and Belmont's in Tennessee. So I think he was just the Murray State guy, but, yeah, he basically just tweeted that, like, he heard that Murray State will be announced as a new member soon. And he, like I said, he is the creator slash host of KSR. I'm trying to figure out what that is. Kentucky Sports Radio. He's got a blue check mark on Twitter. He's got 223,000 followers. Like, he's, you know, it's like a legitimate reporter, sports guy. And I'm looking for this other tweet, but I remember someone quote tweeted him and said that, like, although this could be true, Murray State's board of whoever doesn't meet again until December, and so they couldn't make that call without the board meeting, or there being, like, an emergency meeting. And if there was an emergency meeting, like, it has to be public. So, like, we would all, like, it would be obvious that that's what's happening. So it's not to say that Murray State isn't seriously considering joining the Valley, but I don't think this is, like, as close to happening as like Belmont, which happened in, it seemed like, a week.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Which just kind of makes sense. Like, what I think we've seen recently, some of these schools had, like, what was it? Texas had an emergency board meeting to do the whole vote, right, for their change of conferences. So I think this is something that we're just seeing, that conferences that don't maybe can make that move all of a sudden are just gradually going through the ropes. Like kind of you should. So I think it makes sense. Totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, here, I actually found the other tweet. So it's from Jeff Bidwell, who is the sports director at WPSD, which I think is the, like, local sports TV network in where Murray State is. And he said, regarding Murray State possibly changing conferences from last time we all went through this, no official decisions can be made without approval from the Board of Regents. Their next scheduled meeting isn't until December. If an unscheduled meeting is announced, buckle up. So, unfortunately, it's like the tweet about Murray State originally has, like, over 300 retweets. The next one, the clarifying, has 14 retweets. So that's so kind of how these things happen.
Following up is the key part there. So
yeah, so I that's why I want to talk about it, or another reason why I want to talk about it is I kind of doubt that all of our listeners might have seen that tweet. So I my gut is saying that this isn't going to happen until December. But if there is breaking news, we will know about it before it happens. So, I still kind of want to talk about it. I think Murray State again would be a very good addition. I think it's kind of good for a different reason, because they don't have Murray State doesn't have the same established success that Belmont does. They've been good, and obviously we all know about Murray State because of Ja Morant. But that's where it's a little different, right? Murray State had very short and huge success because they had someone who was a top. What was he? Didn't he go number 2 overall or 3 overall?
Yeah.
In the NBA draft.
Yeah.
So it's just it's success for different reasons, which is I think a good thing to be kind of have different types of teams in the conference. So, Baloo, what do you think about Murray State just in general?
Yeah, I think Murray State has. I don't know. It's kind of interesting because I know some head coaches have been through there. Mick Cronin, head coach at UCLA, went through Murray State, then went to Cincinnati. He brought the Murray State to the NCAA tournament twice. Then the former head coach at Iowa State, Steve Prohm, was the head coach there, brought him once. And then again, the most recent success in they went to the NCAA tournament back to back years, both, I would say, in reference to having Ja Morant. Definitely a huge thing. So I think this is a little bit of a different situation of a team. If I'm going to be honest, it's not the same level as Belmont, just because I think Belmont's basketball has definitely bolstered that kind of credibility. But that doesn't mean Murray State can't. I think this might be a team that benefits more than anything from being added into the Valley, really, if mm-hmm. we're being all honest. Just the only thing is, I just don't know their location. I think they're in.
It's in Kentucky, but yeah, I think it's a smaller town.
Yeah. I think that's the only interesting part there.
That's Murray, Kentucky.
Murray, Kentucky. Okay. But again, is they do have a, I believe they have a football team. So granted, I'm not saying they're not top 25. We're not talking FBS here, but they're pretty close to St. Louis. So I think their closest rival is going to be Belmont. It's going to be Evansville. They all they're kind of close to each other. So I do think it kind of fits the Valley. And then the fact that they have a football team, because I don't know if Belmont does, I think adds to it as well.
Yeah, so, I think you were just saying they're close to St. Louis. I think they'd actually be the closest Valley team to St.
Maybe
Louis.
Southern
very,
might
very
be
close.
Though. Southern
might yeah, be. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But long story short is I don't agree. Let's be honest. I don't agree with that whole 11 statement. I think you want an even squad because you want to have just an even amount, because then you don't have one team not playing during the week, during Valley. In my opinion, it would look weird. So having a straight roster of 12 teams and then 11 times 2 is 22. So you still get 22 games, which I think is a lot of games to be played. So in my opinion, then you could say, does that then really get people to only have to worry about a few non-conference games because they got a long conference schedule? So I think it helps. I definitely think – I don't know the overall aspect of Murray State as a whole for all their sports, but I really do think it's going to help with the team. And to be honest, I think Murray State would look at this as a benefit for them more than anything. I definitely think – in the long run, they're going to benefit a lot. But I don't think it's a negative thing for the Valley. I think the Valley is looking for a team to be added. And like they found in Valpo, which I don't think Valpo was right away, but Valpo was because it was close to Loyola. You got another team up in that vicinity. I think it's nearly the same thing. So a lot to be talked about, a lot of ands, ifs, and buts, but I think it's just in a good direction to see the Valley looking to get stronger. So yeah. And let's be honest, Loyola was not the best when we joined the Valley, and Loyola took us a few years. So it fluctuates, right? When we joined, Southern was always up there. Teams just move up and down. That's how it happens. You only get there for 4 years with some of these guys. So we'll see.
Yeah, but I think your point about
Murray State benefiting more from the Valley is legitimate. Like, I think that while Belmont has had this, like, continued success, Murray State, you know, I don't want to call them a flash in the pan, but if they don't do anything in the next 5 or 10 years, then I think it would be legitimate to call them a flash in the pan. So I like you said too, I would love for them to be added. I think they're a good team and potentially could be a great contributor to the conference for years to come. So if they asked me what my opinion was, I would tell Jeff Jackson to add him to the conference. But they don't ask me, so and nothing to worry about there. But yeah, I don't know. Any last thoughts, kind of just on either Murray State or Belmont Valley, anything like that?
I think the only thing to add really is kind of what is our outlook on it, and we're not here to make speculation or anything. But as they try to strengthen the Valley, I don't know. You saw a lot of teams personally. You saw Butler take advantage of their trips to the Final Four. You saw Creighton take advantage of their quick success. And now I think you see those teams sustained in their conferences by getting top recruits because they're in big name conferences. So I don't know. I think personally, sometimes these conferences can be a landing board or jumping board into another thing. But as well as the Valley strengthens, maybe it is to our benefit. So I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts, and there's no real solution to what the right thing to do. I think personally, our AD is just looking to see what really strengthens not just basketball, but all athletics. Because right now, if you look at our women's volleyball, they're doing really great. Both soccer teams do great. So when it comes to conference realignment, yes, I think the tier one sport, which would be the biggest revenue sport for our school, it's basketball. They kind of lead the way in kind of where to fit in. But I think having that bolster of other sports is really interesting as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good kind of like summation of the Valley as a whole and how this kind of impacts them. So excited to play some games against Belmont next year. I think it's Northern Iowa. It could be someone else. One of the Valley teams actually has a game against Belmont this year in men's basketball. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, dude, let me just take a peek.
I think it's Northern.
Evansville. Actually, Evansville and Drake both are going to be playing good old Belmont this year.
Oh, do they? Okay. Then, wow. Yeah. That's great.
So Drake's going to be playing them in their tournament, it looks like, because they're playing in Florida. So Drake is their first game in their tournament. That's going to be interesting. Nice. And then Evansville is part of it looks like their schedule at Belmont. So that's interesting there. So, gotcha. Yeah, very, very interesting there.
Yeah, so something to watch for sure. So then the next bit of news we have, more on recruitment here. Our class of 2022 is shaping up. You know, we have three commits so far. Let me make sure I have it. I know it's Jalen Quinn, Trayvon Lewis, and Jaden Dawson. So yep. Three so far. We are trying to figure it out. I think it's like five or six open scholarships that we'll have. We'll figure that out at a later point, but lots to fill. So the newest person to come and tour Loyola and come for an official visit was a 6'8 small forward originally from Sweden. His name is Bobby Klintman, 6'8, like I said, and he is, according to 247 Sports, he is the 111th national recruit. So, you know, top 100. He is the 30th best small forward, according to 247. He came and visited Loyola this past week. From all accounts, it looked like it went well. You know, it's always hard to tell because they're just posting on Instagram and, just saying all the right things. But hopefully it went well. I don't know, Lou, if you had any kind of more specific thoughts about it, about the recruitment in general or Bobby. Yeah.
I think looking at it now, we have six scholarships leaving. Again, the four returning super seniors and the two Ivy League. So that's six. So right now we're sitting at three commits. And Bobby, in my opinion, fits the mold of adding also a big guy. And that would be four. And then you kind of also one maybe to two transfers, right? Definitely one. I'd say we always consistently potentially get one transfer over the last few years, but potentially then two since we have an extra scholarship. So I think I really do like the idea of Bobby Klintman, also a top program. Sunrise Christian, we have had a recruit recently from Sunrise Christian, Isaiah Bajoju, who didn't really work out just because of the point guard depth chart, in my opinion. But Sunrise Christian is a top 10 high school program. So regardless of, in my opinion, if Bobby, because I don't know right now if he starts or just the fact that he's in that program, in my opinion, puts his credibility. And then also he's officially visiting schools like Maryland, Rutgers. I believe his top six actually include Kansas and is it Virginia Tech or even Virginia?
Maybe, yeah, actually. It's Virginia and then Texas A&M.
So last time I checked, Virginia won a national title and Kansas has a handful of them. So yes, I know we have a national title, but they've kind of won them a little bit recently. So we're in tough talent there. So I'm very intrigued what Bobby – again, I would love to talk to these recruits and be like, what makes Loyola in your top six, right? Like, right. You're not from Chicago. You're from also not this country. So, like, what intrigues you? So that's always a cool thing to see, a kind of a rare talent really walking through or looking at Loyola. So found that really interesting. So, yeah, I think he really fits the mold potentially of what maybe Drew's doing. Quick, athletic, big guys. I think that's the thing I'm noticing with Drew is like Chris Knight, for example. Chris Knight sits at that 6'7", 6'6", very athletic. So I think Bobby Klintman potentially is that very lanky kind of big guy. So I like it a lot. I also like the recruitment so far. Again, my favorite recruit from last year, again, was St. Thomas. Late pick, but I think great. So far for 2022, I'm going to say Jalen Quinn. I just really wanted Jalen Quinn a lot. For some reason, I think he's going to be a great Valley guard. So I think we're doing great. I think you and I were talking just recruitment in general, just really interesting where we're going with recruits or where we're looking for recruits. Again, from early on, we were looking at Ohio, Evan Mafley, and then Tennessee and Minnesota. So we're really not sticking to just Chicago, but we're also not forgetting about Chicago local guys and like Jalen Quinn being from Illinois area and then Trayvon Lewis being from Michigan, right? And so we're really not forgetting about where we are strong in, but we're also exploring new options for recruiting. So it sounds like we're going on a date, which is weird, but you know what? I think Drew is trying to figure out what his mojo is with recruiting. And again, I think what London is really leading that practice, I think. I think he's labeled as head of recruiting. Let me actually check. But Buck, what do you think so far of recruiting while I look this up?
Yeah, well, I just want to like talk a little bit more about Bobby Klintman. I actually think he's kind of unlike anyone that we've like in the past, I don't know, 10, 12 years since I really looked back and on recruiting. Like, he is a pro. He's going, if everything goes even just kind of good for him at the next level in college, I think he's going to be a pro. And I don't mean just like a European pro. I think he's going to be an NBA player. He's got the body. He's 6'8". I don't really think he's like a traditional big guy. I think he really is like a small forward. Like, I think he's like that same mold of like, I'm not saying this is how good he's going to be, but of like a Kevin Durant, of like, I don't know, like, why am I drawing a blank now? But like an NBA small forward, 6'8", can shoot, can defend four or five positions. And obviously there's got to be a lot that goes right for him to reach that level. But I think I even saw a tweet that said he really wants to be an NBA player. And so like that is a big factor in his recruitment. So I saw a little bit of rumblings like on Twitter from some other Rambler fans of like how we can compete with that. It actually might've been on Rambler Mania. And some people made some good points. I mean, so, you know, the teams we're up against, like Maryland, Rutgers. I'm not going to talk about Kansas because that's not really fair because they're so good. But even Texas A&M, like, yeah, they've had a few pros here and there in the past, like, 5 or 10 years. But what's to say that, like, he's going to get the same playing time there as he would at Loyola? Like, you know, I think that's kind of the pitch is come to Loyola. You're our number one priority. You will get to start from day one. You can play 35 minutes a game. We live in Chicago. My brother is an NBA player. You know, like we have multiple pros. Milton Doyle was in the NBA. That's the pitch. I you know, it's that generally like I would give. But I just think like if we get him, which we have no idea, he hasn't really made any sort of indication yet. It would be like a huge thing, like not just
a really good thing, it would be monumental for the program. Even if he doesn't go to the NBA, to get a top nearly, I think he will be a top 100 recruit before all said and done in high school for him. And so I just think it would be like enormous for us to get him. So I think it's cool that we're in the competition for him, and we'll just have to see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say is I have a quote from him about why he's his top six, and here's it on Loyola. He goes, "I like them because they are winning. They are an up and coming program. They aren't in the biggest conference, and they beat teams in bigger conferences. I think it is a good up and coming program, and like other programs, they have a playing style that fits me. I think I have a chance to come in and play directly as a freshman."
Yeah. That's I think he's kind of got it down. So obviously if like Kansas is actually offering him, that's the one thing I'm not like convinced about. I don't doubt that Kansas has given him an offer, but how a lot of these things go, like I was actually listening to a podcast, this is like 2 years ago, with Paxson Wojcik, and they talked about like him getting offers, and he says, you know, a lot of the time a bigger school might give you an offer, but they tell you, oh, but we're targeting three guys at your position before you, so we have to wait to see what they decide in order to actually extend you like an offer to join the program. So
yeah, that's very, I've heard that before of like, hey, we would like to, we're thinking about extending an offer, but we got two guys ahead of you. Yeah. So, and they say that. So yeah, he could, and that's the thing though. I think my last point nearly is going to be Bobby's coming from overseas. So I think that's the thing that's interesting. It's like, there's not a lot of AAU tape on him. He's going to a good program. I don't know if he's going to be starting. So maybe this is someone you'll see, but already down to a top six. I don't know when he's looking to make his kind of decision. So we'll see. I really like the enthusiasm on your side. He didn't cross my mind as something like that. But for all you know, you never know with some of these guys that last minute transition into kind of U.S. basketball can make a big difference. So getting here early is really a big difference. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be exciting to follow. And if we hear anything, we'll make sure to let everyone know.
Absolutely.
So, here now, that's pretty much all the news we have. We do want to kind of get more into the previews. So, we've done these in the seasons past too, so I think all y'all should know kind of generally how they go. We're just going to kind of go up and down the roster, talk a little bit about like how their offseason went, like if they had any like coaching changes or big personnel changes or anything like that, or in the case of one team, a name change. So today we're going to just focus on Illinois State, Southern Illinois, and Evansville, and I think we should probably get the stinker out of the way. So I think we should start with Illinois State and talk about how I think they're going to be really bad. First of all, one of the resources we use is Three Man Weave. We have talked about them in the past. They're great. Please follow them on Twitter. Please go to their website. They actually just posted their Missouri Valley Conference write up or preview for the next season. So we're going to be using that a lot, and some other resources too, but just want to plug Three Man Weave for sure. So Illinois State, as I learned last week, they lost
a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and their key guy that they lost that I was going to talk about was DJ Horn, who was all conference for them last year. They do, like Lou talked about last week, they do have a couple guys coming back, mainly Antonio Reeves. Some of their numbers are really inflated. I don't even remember. I don't know if everyone remembers, but they played that game against I'm drawing a blank on the team name, but where they scored like 176 points or something stupid, something like absolutely ridiculous, because the other team like plays a super strange defense that just allows fast break. So a lot of their numbers from last year are kind of inflated even from that one game. I just don't think they're going to be all that good.
Greenville. They won 177 to 108.
Oh, 1 point off. Man, I almost had it.
How did I forget about that one?
Yeah, that made ESPN, too. Because, like, I think it was the most points scored in a D1 game in, like,
I don't know, a long time.
But yeah, I mean, Antonio Reeves is legit. Like, I think he's a very good player. I honestly think he could take that next step and be like an all-conference type player. Past that, you know, I don't know. I don't, they don't, it doesn't seem like they really have a big guy that I'm all that concerned about. They have a transfer from Appalachian State who's 6'7". He averaged almost 10 points and 4 rebounds, but even that, like, only 4 rebounds at Appalachian State. It's like, what, you know, I don't know. That doesn't really worry me. I don't know, Lou. I mean, what are you thinking? I know you don't really want to talk much about them because of who they are, but what do you think?
Yeah, well, they're a losing team in the last kind of two seasons, and it's really interesting because they are at the height of, in my opinion, I do agree, just as a basketball fan, they got snubbed the year they were the one seed, the NIT. They should have been the last team in, and Syracuse took that spot, and then lo and behold, the committee looked great because Syracuse made it to the Final Four. But I do think that Illinois State has been on a downstream, and personally, I really think this could be Mueller's last year. Mm-hmm. Just because over the last two seasons, they're 17-39. Only Evansville has fewer conference wins during that span. So that's like a biggest, I think that's nearly one of the biggest things. They're losing guys left and right. Even like they had that big guy from, I don't know if it was like Eastern Europe or something last year that was doing decent minutes for them. And then he got up and left. So DJ Horn had been there for a while, but the fact that they couldn't keep some of these guys for at least a year or more, it's just kind of strange, I think, personally. Yeah, I know some of the guys have been plagued by injuries, like Taylor Bianga and stuff like that, but I don't know. It's going to be really tough. I think they're going to be looks like they're going to be guard heavy.
Yeah.
Just with Mark Freeman coming over from Tennessee State. So, but he dropped 17 points. I think he could be, interesting matchup. And then they got Antonio Reeves. So it's really just going to come down to, in my opinion, what they're looking for. So I think Mueller's going to have his hands full. I think you mentioned they don't really have any bigs that are going to start, I don't think. They're bigs. They got two big guys, 6'10 and 6'11. But pretty much one's a transfer from Utah State and one's from JUCO. So it's going to be really big, interesting. I think, really, if you get down to it, I really think that it could be one of his last years. They're just going to have to make adjustments everywhere. That's the thing. It's going to be a big adjustment year for them. I think they're going to be at really, really beat down in Valley play, not only from us, but I think Missouri State with Cage Brim, I think you and I with Greenback. So I think they got their hands full on just trying to compete in the Valley, regardless of their total conference score anyway, or record anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think they're just going to struggle to defend. Like, I don't know how they're going to play defense. You know, that Mark Freeman guy looks great. You know, he's averaging 17 points, 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists. But then you're just like, okay, so what's wrong, right? Why is he at Illinois State if those are his numbers? And he was on a really bad Tennessee State team last year. It's got to be defense, right? Like, that's why he's not at somewhere better. Like, those numbers are great, but there's got to be something that's not good about him. You know, if that guy was coming to Loyola, I'd say the exact same thing. You know, it's like, why are those numbers so good? But and yet he's in the Missouri Valley Conference. So, yeah, I just think they're really going to struggle to defend. And that is, you just can't win more than half your games in the Valley if you're not a very good defensive team. I worry that they're going to turn the ball over a lot. That's kind of been their calling card, even when they're really good. That's what they did wrong in the Valley with Malik Yarborough and those guys. They turn the ball over a lot. So I Three Man Weave even has them at eighth. I honestly think they're gonna be last. Like I really do. I think they're gonna be bad. So I'm not putting in my prediction yet because I want to go through all these before I make my conference rankings. But as of now, I think Illinois State's going to be bringing up the rear in the Missouri Valley Conference. Lou, I don't know if you want to make any bold statements like that, but any more thoughts about Illinois State, or do you want to move on?
Let's move on. I don't want to talk about garbage for too much long.
It starts to smell after a while.
It really does. It lingers.
All right, cool. Well, now that we've taken the trash out, Let's move to Southern Illinois, which I don't think either of us have any issue talking about. We actually, I think, enjoy talking about Southern. Last year, just rough, had a lot of injuries. Obviously, the key one was Marcus Domask, who had just a heck of a freshman year. He was freshman of the year. And did he make first team All-Valley or second team All-Valley?
I think he made second team All-Valley.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, he was hurt. I think he played a little bit last year, but not enough to really like qualify as a full season. And then they also had a JUCO transfer, JD Mulia, 6'8", looks to be like their starting big guy, who I also believe, he tore his meniscus last year and was out for the year. But, you know, that led Lance Jones to have a heck of a year, great run at the end of the year, really gave us some trouble. He was All-Valley last year. And they have some really, like, key guys coming off the bench, too. Ben Harvey, who he's been around for a few years. He almost averaged 10 points last year. And then some other – they have a lot of juniors. They're very, like, junior-heavy. And their starting lineup looks to be all juniors, actually. So, I personally – I think Southern could be pretty good. I don't think they can scratch that top four unless something crazy really happens one way or another for them. But I really think they could be the fifth best team in the Valley. You know, I really trust our old friend Mullins to go out there and have a fundamentally sound team. They have a stud in Marcus Domask. So, I like what he's putting together there down in Southern. So. Lou, what are your thoughts about Southern Illinois?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is they're returning everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the return of everyone Brian Mullins knows how to coach. So it's Marcus Domask, if healthy. It's Lance Jones, Trent Brown, JD Mula. I know he didn't play, but like he's been around the program, so that's going to be the only kind of outlier. But they got a bench who last year played. So like Kyle Filowich. AKA, I think what Mullins wants to be the next Krutwig, 6'9 kid, sophomore now. Anthony DiVanzo, I think a JUCO transfer? I forget. But like he's got some these big guys who are going to be on the bench potentially or not. And then he's got another 6'9 freshman. So I'm just really intrigued the fact that he has a roster of group of guys that are pretty much his guys that he knows. Again, it's going to be all highly based off of how Marcus Domask gets back. If he comes right back and strong, that's going to, I think, be really big for them. I think one of the things three-man weave that I really liked, one of their big insights was the minutes they're bringing back, 98.4% of their roster is back of the minutes that were done last year. So that's huge. Like, that's absolutely huge. So it's one of those things, though, that personally it's like, okay, well, if 98% of the minutes are coming back, are they going to have the same season they had last year? Granted, majority of those minutes are not accounting for the fact that Marcus Domask was out because he was just out. So it's going to be really based off Marcus Domask. I think his activity and his health is going to be the sole kind of core of this team. But then adding JD Mula after the torn meniscus, adding kind of back some of these guys like Lance Jones, maybe he like figured out, oh, I can score, right? Because he knew how to score against us. So things like that, after having a whole year with your head coach and then being like, hey, we're all staying, let's continue. Because I think they really battled us toward the end. So I think they potentially have a system that could be in place. This is Mullen's third season. So maybe he can really clean off the dust again. COVID 1 year, so we can give them that. So it's good. I think they are a team who I think personally could take the Bradley spot, only for the sole factor that Bradley has a completely different roster, while Southern has a roster consistent of guys from last year. So I think that's where I sit them, and I'm not going to give my predictions yet, but I think the fact that they could, in my opinion, be the new Bradley of a team that really could scratch and claw their way up into the top echelon of teams in the Valley.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're pretty similar on Southern. I really do like Marcus Domask. Like I wish we would have gotten him because I know we were in like his top three or four or whatever he put out. And I think it probably just came down to like minutes, and he knew that he would have the opportunity to play a lot more going to Southern. So I wish them the best. I hope they do super well, except for the two games that they play against us. And, I hope they, have a successful season, and I hope they stay healthy. I think that's going to be kind of the biggest thing for them this season. So we got one more. The last team we kind of wanted to hit was Evansville here. Evansville was kind of a surprise in the Valley last year. They had a very interesting offense, lots of three-point shooters. Pretty much everyone on the team shot threes. They had a pretty like successful backcourt. Shamar Givens and Juwan Newton were pretty and I guess Noah Frederick were all pretty successful. Givens was all conference, was second team. He returns again. He's a senior this year. And last year he averaged 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists, and almost a steal and a half. So those are really legit numbers in the Valley, where points are at a premium every single game. And they finished fifth last year. So I think this is honestly my toughest one to be perfectly honest. I they did finish pretty high last year, and they do return like a pretty good amount of their players, especially their like top four players, I guess you could say. I think they're kind of a different brand of offense in the Valley. They don't shy about just shooting threes. That's what their offense kind of consists of. I just think that, I don't know. I honestly don't. I need to read more about Evansville, to be honest. I just like, they're very confusing to me. So Lou, why don't you give me some information and try to help set me straight here about Evansville?
Yeah, they're returning a strong group of guys that led them to that fifth. Now, do I think they're going to be fifth this year? It's all going to just – it's not going to be on their merits. I think it's going to be on the merits of if other teams are having bad years. Now, in saying so, someone should say, well, if they just played really strong, then they're going to get in there. So I think, again, the fact that his team had high hopes with a new coach, and then that coach got let go, and then you had Todd – oh, is it Litker or whatever, how you want to pronounce it?
Litker or something?
Yeah, something like that. How he kind of came to the moment. But, like, the thing is, like, they finished fifth, but I'm pretty sure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their last 8 games they lost.
Oh, wow.
So, like, yeah, they beat UNI twice. That I think, is a team that was injured. They beat Southern. They lost both to Bradley. They beat Valpo twice, and they lost to both us. Now, granted, they only lost both games by potentially – what looks like 13 and then only 11. So I think they're strong. Like, they definitely are. They played strong against Drake. So I definitely agree. It's tough. Do I think they're going to be top 5? No. But I think the biggest thing is that they're returning 3 of their key players, the Noah Frederick, Juwan Newton, and Shamar Grievens. We talked about last week, but all 3 scored in the top in double digits, 10, 13, and 13. I think they're just going to be needing a ball handler and someone to help Pat move things along. And then at least one big guy. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I know they have JUCO, but I think the fact that they have a 6'9 senior, but we haven't really seen much from. So really it's going to be tough. I think, yeah, they shoot a lot of threes, but I think they're going to be toward the projections of bottom, just for the fact that it's so hard. There's no gimmies in the Valley, I think. And that's, I think, it's really tough to give it just like, oh, they're going to be good. I think they're just going to be in the bottom tier for the sole factor of how deep some of the strong teams are. I think that's what's going to dictate it.
That's actually, I was just thinking of that. Like, I think their depth is actually probably the worst in the Valley. Like, looking at it now, like, their top 4 or 5 guys, like, you know, they, like we mentioned, the 3 returning guards, Evan Kuhlman, who's been here for, it seems like, forever. Trey Hall has even been around. I think he had an off year last year. But after that, I couldn't tell you any of the guys on their team. They lost a couple guys, Samari Curtis and Jax Levitch, who I at least know their names. But yeah, I think they'll be up there with, like, Another team that I think is really lacking depth is Indiana State. And just kind of like scrolling through the three-man weave article, like, you know, even Bradley, who's got a lot of missing, you know, guys that are gone, they get some quality transfers. They had some guys that were hurt last year who have been in the Valley. You get up to like Valpo, who's got a lot of newcomers. You know, we'll talk about this, but they're, I actually think they have the worst depth in the Valley. And I think that is really key in the Valley specifically, because these games are tough. There's often little nagging injuries, and it's a defensive battle. So I think depth is always a very important piece to the puzzle in the Valley play. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to be a bottom team with a couple just good players. Those three teams that we mentioned, kind of very different, actually, I think in a lot of ways. Like, even though I do think Illinois State and Evansville will be toward the bottom, those two teams are different. Like, Evansville has some proven players, a few, whereas Illinois State, I mean, Antonio Rios is pretty good. And after that, I don't know if they have any proven Valley players. So, and then you got SIU, which we talked about, and I think we both like a lot. And they just had an off year with injuries and COVID and that kind of stuff. So, I think that's a good start. Got three down, and seven to go. Any closing thoughts or like anything else you want to talk about before we wrap things up here?
I think just as we start, I think there might be a bigger gap between teams this year. I really do think. Just for the fact that some of these teams, I think depth is going to be a big thing, just because I think a lot of people on some bad teams took advantage of that extra year. So I don't know. It's going to be – I think that's what I'm predicting that. But, again, we'll get into it more when we come up with the projections. Just for the fact that I think now after talking about it, I know last week we kind of did some buckets – and really reading into it, I do think potentially we're going to see a bigger gap between teams. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Again, for all we know, teams could go on hot streaks and bigger teams kind of choke up. So we'll see how it plays. But remember, it's the Valley. Things can happen. And so I'm excited to talk about it, though. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. It's been fun starting our research, kind of seeing where we fit amongst all the other Valley teams as well. Maybe the last little thing we can talk about here, just how we think Loyola is going to fare against each of these teams. I do think that like Evansville and Illinois State, I don't know if there's really much to talk about there. Like, I think if Loyola plays their game, they don't turn the ball over. I think we should plan to win both games. You get to Southern Illinois, and that's always a challenge because, they play a similar brand of basketball. I think if we lock up Dilmask and make sure Lance Jones doesn't hit every three he takes against us, I think we have a pretty good shot. But our usual man in the middle is not going to be down there. So we got to figure out other ways to make shots and create buckets for our guys. Lou, how do you think we're going to do against these three teams this year?
I think Illinois State, Evansville, I think I'm going to compare it to our game at Furman, how we kind of just beat ourselves with turnovers and stuff. I think that these are games that we could potentially just give away, and that's what I think it's going to be if we did lose. But I do think we're stronger than that. We blew out Illinois State last year. I think it's roughly the same team, even with not even a big guy to challenge Cam. Who did challenge Cam, but we don't even have a big guy to worry about, even though we don't have Cam. Evansville, we just got to be smarter with the three-point perimeter. I think we don't have to really worry about that, just worry about anything inside, just really the three-point. And that leads me into Southern. Southern really battled us, and they really did. And I really do think if Southern's hitting on all cylinders, especially with Marcus Domask, who they didn't have when they challenged us, could be a challenge. And lo and behold, Brian Nolens knows our system inside and out, so I think that's an advantage as well. But granted, it's a new system under Drew, so you might see things that Mullins isn't prepared for. But Mullins and him were coaches together, so they kind of know each other well. So we'll see that. I think, though, personally, Southern kind of got the advantage in the games against us just because they battled us really well. And it's going to come down to who's got maybe either not – if it comes down to a close game, it's going to who's got the smarter players out there, who I think it's us because of seniority and stuff, just some guys have been there. But when it comes out to strategy, I think that's going to just be interesting how we handle their shooting or how we handle maybe they throw in their big guys or maybe Marcus Domech just takes over. So it's going to be an interesting year with Southern, I have to say.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's all yet to be seen, and we'll see how it goes this year. But yeah, I think that's going to do it here from Buck and Lou Podcast 63. We will be back again next week for a new episode. More previews to come. I'm sure there'll be more news, and we'll be sure to be tweeting if anything happens. We won't be posting on Facebook because apparently Facebook, we don't know if it'll ever work again. But we'll be on Twitter. So thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.